Earlier this month, China's top banking and insurance watchdog announced it was going to promote reverse mortgage service across China. This is intended to meet the diverse needs in the growing market for elderly care. However, the latest announcement has triggered a new round of discussion over the reverse mortgage service. In Chinese, we call it 以房养老. So let's look at what this concept is about. So, definition duty, please, Lai Ming.
Right.
What is reverse mortgage?
Okay, in the US, a reverse mortgage is known as a loan for homeowners. It allows them to convert part of the equity in their homes into cash. There's usually an age limit to qualify for China's pilot program. The homeowner needs to be aged between 60 and 85. And in the US, the age requirement is 62 and older. So the reason why I said the definition of reverse mortgage in the U.S. was a loan is because actually in China, the institution that is offering the service is actually insurance company. So it actually counts as an insurance policy instead of a loan, but otherwise it's basically they work almost the same. And with a traditional mortgage, the borrower gets a lump sum of money up front and then makes monthly paybacks to the lenders. That makes sense. A lot of people do that when they buy, say, cars, apartments. But instead, a reverse mortgage allows the borrower to receive the loan on a monthly basis. And the borrower is not required to pay back the loan until the home is sold or otherwise vacated. And that's, I assume that's the euphemism for when the owner passes away. Mm-hmm. And as long as the borrower lives in the home, he or she is not required to make any monthly payments towards the loan balance. And this financial instrument is usually considered as a means to help older people with limited income use the accumulated wealth in their homes to cover basic monthly living expenses and pay for health care. And there's no restriction on how reverse mortgage proceeds can be used. So in other words, when you buy the insurance policy in China, when you enjoy reverse mortgage service, there are no clauses in the contract stipulating that you should spend the money exclusively on food or elderly care, medicine. You can also, if you feel like it, you can spend the money on lottery and hopefully you get $1 million or a million or a billion yuan in return, and that's totally fine.
Growing money from money, but lotteries, a chance in a million that I can hit the jackpot, I suppose. Well, certainly this has been piloted here in China for only 4 years, but in the US, this is no new concept. Tony, how is reverse mortgage worked out in the U.S.?
Well, it's been around for a few decades. They were signed into law in 1988 by President, Ronald Reagan, as a part of the Housing and Community Development Act of 1987. The rules actually are very similar to China's in that you need to be 62 years or older to get a reverse mortgage,
and also you need to have property.
Yes, that's huge. You have to have property. So for a lot of people who are just renting apartments, this wouldn't really benefit them. But on a positive note, it's a good way to get cash when your home equity is the biggest asset that you have, and you don't have another way to pay off your basic living expenses. And it also allows you to keep living in your home as long as you keep up with the property taxes, the maintenance, and insurance. So on that note, it's a really good deal for elderly who are worried about paying for their living costs every month and having a place to stay. On the other side, there are a few challenges with this product. The reverse mortgage means spending a significant amount of the equity that you've accumulated on interest and loan fees. So you most likely won't be able to pass your home down to your heirs. That's another issue that if it's something that, if you want to pass your home down to your family members or, or will it to someone, it's not really yours anymore. Once you, get a reverse mortgage, it belongs to, whoever the lender was that gave you, who gave it to you. So there's a lot of things that have been going on. USA Today reported an incident with a homeowner in Annapolis. Bennett and his wife, Ophelia, took out a reverse mortgage at the end of 2008 for about $300,000. And they did it really to just, you know, that where they wouldn't have to make payments on their mortgage and they wouldn't have to make any payments in general for the month. And at the time, the lender told them that the wife's name would go on the loan because she was the oldest. But what the lender didn't tell the husband was that his name would never be able to be on the loan. So that was an issue when the wife passed away a month later. The home went up into foreclosure and he was fighting to keep it and they eventually lost the home. So these kind of cases have been coming up, you know, with this type of arrangement. So in the U.S., there's a little bit of red flags with this type of...
I think that was more like a scam or something. Information was withheld from the homeowner specifically in the attempt to sort of get hold of the property without the owners knowing about it.
Unfortunately, the U.S. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau argue that reverse mortgages are complex products and can be a little difficult for consumers to understand, especially in the light of misleading advertisement, low quality counseling, and risk of fraud and other scams. So it's unfortunately you do have this issue that can possibly come up in these type of arrangements. So I think education on the product and understanding it very clearly is key if these are going to work for people.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And as you guys have noted, that reverse mortgage is implemented slightly differently in both countries. So it's really important that people read into the fine print, and sometimes it's written to some extent deliberately in a very difficult to comprehend language for a layman, and that could be quite an issue. But what we take up as a explainer duty on this show is we try to sift through a lot of information and we highlight for you that some of the key points one should keep in mind as you're venturing into this kind of policy, or making up your decision, or just to get to know more about what's going on here in China. So, Lai Ming, when you look at this, what do you think is really the benefit of reverse mortgage here in China, since, you know, the government is kind of promoting it?
Well, for people who go for reverse mortgage service, certainly that provides a stable income for them. So there are actually a few examples of people who have joined the service. For instance, the 76-year-old Mr. Tan was the first to join the program in Nanjing. And ever since his wife died in 2010, he's been living alone on a monthly pension about 3,600 yuan. The pension was just enough to make the ends meet, and neither of his two sons wanted to inherit this property. Here, this is a very important piece of information, is that neither of his two sons wanted to inherit his property. That all sort of opens the door for Mr. Tan to join the service. So in 2017, he jumped on the reverse mortgage deal offered by Happy Life Insurance. And that's the only, well, so far as we know, that's the only insurance company that is conducting the business, although there's got to be more than a dozen insurance companies that have acquired the qualification to conduct reverse mortgage service. So anyway, Mr. Tan joined the service in 2017 and started collecting more than 5,000 yuan from the policy every month. And with a total monthly income of nearly 9,000 yuan after being in the service, Mr. Tan enjoyed his life. And during an interview in early August, he said he had just come back from a trip to Guizhou. Well, for people who are not necessarily familiar with the geography in China, Guizhou is a very mountainous and very, very remote province in China, and good scenery and tourist destination. He also feels much better now, and I quote, I try and translate this his quote from Chinese. He said, "With more money, I have more confidence with my spending. I can eat better and buy better products and services, but the biggest change is in the mood. Now I feel happier." I mean, I think this with financial stability, there comes the happy mood. And I think that's very important for elderly people, for them to stay healthy. And Mr. Tang's story inspired another one who's 72-year-old, Mr. Zhou, who joined the program after consulting with Tang. Mr. Zhou's wife died more than 20 years ago. He single-handedly raised his two daughters. Now that the daughters have started their own families, Zhou wanted to focus on his quality of life after retirement. The case with Mr. Zhou is that he's having problem making ends meet now that he has to take medications. And with reverse mortgage, money coming from reverse mortgage service, he's able to make ends meet and also enjoy life and also get little savings from this.
This is very interesting. And certainly, Tony mentioned as well that I think one of the biggest advantages of reverse mortgage is that you'd be staying in your own apartment or your own house. And having that comfort of home, I think, is very important for anybody. And, of course, for the elderly folks. I remember on Roundtable, in one of the earlier months of this year, we talked about a survey which showed for elderly folks, the home is their most ideal place for retirement. Wow. And later on days in life as well. And some even said that they prefer to receive medical care in the comfort of their home. So this is certainly a very good point to keep in mind. But when we look at reality, and since this pilot has been running in China in some top cities such as Beijing, Shanghai, Guangzhou, and Wuhan, these are some of the very developed mega cities in China. But this pilot program didn't seem to have gained much traction. And why is that?
Very interesting. Exactly how far has reverse mortgage been introduced in China? And the obviously the policy was first launched as a pilot program in June 2014, and like you said, Beijing, Shanghai, Guangzhou, and Wuhan. And over the years, the pilot program has been extended to more cities across the country. However, 4 years have passed by now, and the policy was not exactly sold like hotcakes. A number of insurance companies have obtained the qualification to conduct reverse mortgage business, but only one of them actually provide the service. And by the end of July 2018, Happy Life Insurance has sold reverse mortgage policies to 99 households, and 80% of which was sold in Beijing, Shanghai, and Guangzhou, big cities. So 4 years, only 99 households. I mean, that just shows how unpopular this insurance policy is. And as for the reason, well, I would say this is the reverse mortgage service as generals or as interesting or as good as it sounds is actually for a small percentage of the population. So obviously those who don't own property cannot enjoy that service. I mean, you have to, essentially reverse mortgage is like selling your house or apartment to a bank or insurance company, only they don't claim it. Only they are paying it in monthly installments until you pass away or until you sell it to pay back that loan and until you pass away. So when you don't have a property, there's nothing for you to sell to them. And also the relatively wealthy group of people has the means to support themselves after retirement, so they don't have to sell the property to the banks or the insurance company. So in the case of Mr. Tang that we mentioned earlier, 76-year-old in Nanjing, who was obviously enjoying the reverse mortgage service with 9,000 yuan income every month, imagine if he could already get 9,000 yuan monthly payment without resorting to this reverse mortgage service. I don't think he would have joined the service.
Well, that's a good point. I suppose in the world where when you're sort of a wealthy person, then of course you have plenty of options in how to organize your retirement life and the twilight years. But for most people here in China, and I think for, I would say, the middle part of this
society,
yes, or this social hierarchy, a lot of people own properties because this is part of a Chinese person's dream in life. That is, without a house, how do you have a life? And that's like one of the biggest achievements for a person. That's one thing. And also with the rapidly rising housing price here in China, your property, the apartment or house that you stay in and own, that becomes the most valuable asset in your portfolio. So it is a bit of a touchy subject, whether you want to pretty much sell it, or do you want to leave it to your heirs, the sons and daughters. So I think this is really something that Chinese people would think so beyond carefully before they want to join.
Yeah, I agree. And what you mentioned before in terms of, you know, family wanting to leave it to their heirs. And, you know, that's one thing my mother told me that, you know, for her at this point of her life, her legacy and what she leaves to her children are the most important things. And so this is definitely not something that my family would consider. And I would imagine that a lot of people, it's not very attractive to pretty much give your most valuable asset that, I mean, a lot of people, that's probably the only asset that they can acquire in a lifetime, to a bank or a lender, and just live off of, you know, a little bit of income to pay off some monthly bill. So it seems like a short-term remedy for, you know, for something instead of a long-term, you know, solution. So I think that back home, and I think all over, that this type of arrangement might be a bit risky if you're looking to, you know, pass something on.
Well, yes, but the part that really struck me, Tony, is that I thought that it's mostly Chinese people or East Asian families when there is a very strong concept.
Attachment to land and property.
Yeah, and then there's this thought that you want to pass something on to your kids. Mm. And that's like really very close to heart for a lot of people. Mm. But from your words, it sounds like some Americans would see this in a similar lens, so to speak.
Absolutely. Especially the American population who do have, you know, some wealth, you know, especially the really wealthy families. They're very concerned about, you know, how they carry on or who they pass it on to. And even in middle America, the middle income of America, a lot of people who have houses and cars and, you know, different things, they have wills that they're writing out to their family members. So it's very important to a large percentage of the United States, you know, people. But for people who are, you know, don't have a lot of assets, you know, they can't really think about it in that way. They have to think of survival. And so I think for people who are just trying to get by month to month, kind of living paycheck to paycheck, they may have to consider some assistance, you know, if they don't have a retirement or they don't have something to, you know, to keep them afloat. So
yeah, these are some really serious things people need to consider before they come to the decision whether they want to join a reverse mortgage or not. And also one thing, and I suppose this is the ultimate thing in life, is that and it's just a really tough question and there's no answer. That is, nobody knows when the last day is going to be. And one thing about planning for retirement and also another fact is that people's life expectancy has increased. So you need to plan for a decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, who knows? And it's, how do you factor reverse mortgage or a healthy pension plan in all of this is difficult.
It really is, at least from my perspective. I don't think the youth are really given this type of education. And I feel as young people, you really have this idea that you don't have to think about it. It's something, it's an old person's matter. And you really don't feel like it's something that you need to even think about. But as you get older, you realize that, you know, you're not going to live forever. And, you know, life is unexpected and you don't know how long you're going to be here. So I think just that education of knowing what you're going to do when things, you know, people pass away or when you get older, and having a little bit more knowledge about some of these products before you invest in them, because that's definitely something that's going to, you know, determine your happiness later on.
And specifically on the issue of investing for your retirement, actually, in this regard, reverse mortgage service isn't exactly the most rewarding financial product for homeowners. So if someone joined the policy at age 60 with an apartment worth 1 million yuan, they could get a monthly payment of 2,514 yuan, but they also need to pay yearly policy fee of 2,544 yuan. And for this number, may look decent in smaller cities, but in 10 to 20 years, with inflation and rising living costs, it may not amount to anything substantial. I mean, maybe 10 to 20 years ago, I mean, 500 yuan. I mean, I think when I was in college, I had 500 yuan every month as a monthly allowance. I think I could totally live on 500 yuan. But now, if you look at 500 yuan, it may not be enough to last you a week. So when you join this policy, the insurance company promises you to give you like 2,500 yuan every month. But in time, when you're going to grow older, you're going to live long, at least you'll hope so. And by the time you're 70 or 78 or 80, 2,500 yuan probably wouldn't mean anything.
Oh, that's one of the deepest worries, Liebig. Yeah, and these things you simply don't really know. But you also don't know the value of your home price either.
Yeah, what about... obviously, the amount I'm going to get from the insurance company is going to be based on the value that it is now. I mean, there's an estimation. But who is to tell that my property will appreciate much, much higher than expected?
And then, depreciate.
Depreciate.
Mr. Liebig.
Well, if it depreciates, then this is a good thing. I mean, I want a good deal. Because then the insurance company is losing money.
Yeah, well, with all this uncertainty, Tony, what do you think? What is a good piece of suggestion?
Well, again, I really think that if you're going into something, you should know everything about it before you sign the contract. Because if you're not aware and things come up later, you're liable for it. So definitely just having the education on the product before you sign it and making sure that, you know, no one in your family is hurt, including yourself.
Yes.
And there's a Chinese philosophy that you come into this world empty-handed and you ultimately will leave this world empty-handed. Mm-hmm. And if you follow that philosophy, then joining that service might be a good idea to have a rewarding life, at least during your retirement age.
Mm. Well, there's one thing. Possibly a takeaway for you. You're listening to Roundtable. We'll be back after this short break.